Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of the Amazing Clubhouse podcast. Along with Daniel Feuerstein, who should be joining us shortly, this is Rick Lachlan, and we're going to be discussing this week the Jose Reyes signing, the Mets' faltering offense, and how the former All-Star shortstop could fit into the Mets' plans. Right now, obviously, Jose Reyes is making his way through the minor leagues, starting with the Brooklyn Cyclones. He was really off to an auspicious start, 0 for 9 at the plate with an error. He did play some third base, and frankly, a lot of Met fans have high expectations for Reyes, who not only struggled on the field, and a lot of scouts had said that his best days are behind him, and he may not be an everyday major league player at this point in his career. He's certainly a player that could spark an offense that just looks completely lackluster. We understand the injury and likely a season-ending one to David Wright with him undergoing neck surgery. The situation with Lucas Duda, it looks like he's going to resume baseball activities in about 2 weeks, and he'll be ready to go. But with his injury, we mentioned David Wright. Darno's just getting back from the disabled list. And frankly, as much as Met fans are happy to see Darno back in the lineup, we've seen him absolutely victimized behind the plate. Teams are running at will against him, against his arm. He went back on his assignment for rehab in the minor leagues to kind of improve and work out some of the kinks in the throwing mechanics. And frankly, it doesn't seem as though he's improved that much at all, because we saw this past week with the Washington Nationals, even the Atlanta Braves, swiping bases left and right off of him. We understand that TJ Rivera is not exactly the prototypical starting catcher, and he certainly cannot be an everyday player. But given the fact that he does have a plus throwing arm from behind the plate, that will negate some of this Mets staff's inability to really hold runners on, and it'll really give the Mets the opportunity to really try to limit base stealers on the base pass from running wild. And we saw that certainly in the Atlanta Braves series, and the book is out on the Mets. There have been a number of teams, even dating back to last year's World Series, where they just try to take advantage of the Mets' ineptitude defensively behind the plate. So given that situation, the lineup is not playing particularly well. It's just one of these things where Jose Reyes, he's obviously a three-time All-Star with the Mets. He's had some of his best days of his entire professional career in Queens. Now, is he the same shortstop that we saw back in 2006, 2007? There's no doubt that he has lost a step. I mean, at age 33 right now, he's battled his share of injuries. He had the off-the-field incident with a domestic violence dispute, which certainly caught a lot of flack from a lot of fans that, frankly, don't think it was the best move for the organization from that standpoint. Sandy Alderson spoke to reporters earlier this week, trying to urge fans to understand that Reyes expressed deep remorse for what he did, that he understood, that he acknowledged he's made a mistake. And frankly, this is the type of player that you go back to his prime. I mean, he was must-see TV when he was at the top of a lineup, getting on base in a bevy of ways, whether it was just hitting the ball on the ground and beating out what would have been a routine ground out, to laying down a sacrifice bunt, to his drag bunts, to his ability to drive the gaps and turn doubles into triples. I mean, this is the kind of player that can electrify an offense at the top of the lineup. And we've seen with Curtis Granderson, he's had some bright moments, but he, as we talked about in the past, usual. So given the fact that, frankly, he's never really played professional outfield, given the fact that he is not necessarily a natural outfielder, it's one of these things where, and I think right now we're joined by Daniel Feuerstein. Daniel, are you there?
Hey, Rick, how's it going? So you're running the show this time, huh?
Yep. I'm kicking things off. I'm the Jose Reyes of the podcast. I'm the leadoff hitter. Yep. But yes, like you are. I said, I'm glad that you could join us. I was just weighing in on the Jose Reyes signing with the Mets and how I think that, frankly, he's more of a prototypical leadoff guy as opposed to Curtis Granderson. And with this Mets offense, the way it's been struggling over the past couple of weeks, I mean, they're searching for answers, and a lot of people are saying this is a desperation move. But at least in my mind, this is one that is a no-brainer because there's really no risk involved when you sign Reyes. It's not like his contract is a multi-million dollar deal. He's going to be basically at the minimum. So I think it's a good move. What are some of your thoughts, Daniel?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, either or, it all depends on what type of leadoff hitter you have here. I mean, Curtis Granderson, obviously, you know, he's really a guy that loves to make contact with the ball and get on base. Curtis Granderson rarely walks these days like he used to when he was with the Tigers and the Yankees. But then again, he's changed his the way he approaches the ball at the plate. Jose Reyes is your typical leadoff hitter. One second. Sorry to sneeze there. Oh, darn it. Sorry about that. I mean, Jose Reyes is your typical prolific leadoff hitter. He'll take walks. He'll get on base any way he can. And while it is a good thing that the Mets are not paying a lot for him to come over, obviously it sounds like the Rockies are paying for most of his salary, still, either way, it's still a good thing to see either Granderson or Reyes. But obviously Reyes has not had a good time in Denver. Obviously, you know, there's been tons of stories about him. You know, we know what happened with his girlfriend or his wife and how he handled that situation. He misses New York. But the thing is that if Reyes does get a call-up and he does come to the Mets, back to Queens, he's going to have to really not go back to the Reyes of old. Now, let me say this. Yes, Jose Reyes still has ability, and you never question ability unless you have the right to question it. I've always contend that for Jose Reyes, it's all mental, arrogance, ego. That's the one thing that he needs to work on, and I hope he's worked on it well, because this is a second chance that he's going to get, and if he makes one bad slip-up, I hate to say it, Rick, it's all over, and the Mets will probably let him go, because right now, as you've said already, there's no reason for the Mets to even worry about this, because he's not making that much off on the books for the Mets. Most of his money is being paid by the Rockies. So I think for the Mets, it's a good opportunity. Reyes, it's a glorious opportunity for him to come back to Queens. But once again, he's going to have to prove it down in the minors. He's really going to have to prove that he is the old Reyes, but not the old Reyes, if he's going to start dancing along the base paths and he gets himself picked off at second for no reason.
And, you know, Reyes is going to make his Binghamton Mets debut on Tuesday, and they're going to keep him at the third base position. They're not going to put him at shortstop because one of their top prospects, Ahmad Rosario, is holding down that position. And you mentioned about Reyes. I mean, clearly he's a player that has an ego. From what I see, he seems like a humbled player. I mean, everything that happened with him off the field, the domestic violence dispute, I think that humbled him. The fact that now he's past his prime, he maybe lost some of those physical gifts that he had when he was in his mid-20s. He's got to kind of transform himself and be a different type of player. And ultimately, I think he is accepting of his role. You know, when he was at the Mets in his first stint, he was one of the leaders in that clubhouse. I mean, he was the guy. Now the Mets are asking him to come in and fill a specific role as a utility man in the infield, possibly play some outfield and give them a spark at the top of the lineup. So, well, Reyes, obviously, since leaving the Mets in 2011, he was the NL batting champion. He kind of rode off into the sunset. He admitted that he never wanted to leave the Mets, but ultimately, given their salary cap situation with the fact that David Wright at that point had signed a long-term agreement that, you know, they weren't going to likely commit that much money to both of those players, so Reyes was the odd man out. But I think this is a good situation for him because, again, he's not going to be counted on to be the middle-of-the-order type of guy that has to carry a lineup. They just want him to be an impetus. And I think ultimately, even though he may have lost a step, he's going to add something on the base pass. Because if you look up and down this Mets lineup, I mean, you don't see much athleticism. You don't see guys stealing bases. Even Granderson in his heyday, who was a stolen base threat, he's really slowed down quite a bit from that standpoint. So I think Reyes is a dynamic player. Is he the same player he was in the mid-2000s? Absolutely not. But I still think that he's good enough, even if it's just for the short term, for the stretch run, heading into, you know, September and August to try to narrow the gap with the Nationals and the NL East. I think he can be an effective player for them. But as you mentioned, I know some of his histrionics, some of the things he does off the field and celebrating home runs and rub some opponents the wrong way. I think he's gotten to the point now, he's 33 years of age. He may have matured a little bit and he understands his role in the clubhouse. So I would think that it would not be a distraction for this team, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
See, that's the thing, Rick. It's that distraction part that really bothers me because, you see, Jose Reyes, well, I understand, you know, every player has every right to celebrate however they want, but he celebrated over the frivolous things. And to me, that's a loss because, you know, he got himself distracted when he was on the base paths trying to steal a base. And when you are hanging away from second, at least 4 feet away from the bag, and you're not paying attention to the pitcher that he might pick you off, and he's been picked off way too many times. So for the Mets right now, like we've already said, you know, this is a good deal. Reyes right now, good pickup for them at the moment. He wanted to come back to New York. He wanted to be here, but he has to understand, and hopefully he is humble. He's more humbled than he was previously. But still, Rick, we have to be aware of what Reyes might be doing on the base paths, because here's the thing. If he behaves himself in the minors, and as you've already said, he's never going to be in Double-A in Binghamton. And Binghamton, probably it's a good start for him. And if he does well there, obviously they're going to bring him up. But if he starts going back to the old Reyes, then what's the point of him coming back in the first place? Not, you know, you're back to winning ball games. You're not back to start dancing on the base paths for no reason.
And I think it's Jose Reyes kind of toes that line between an energetic, fun guy in the clubhouse and an arrogant person that may create a distraction and may frustrate opponents and may cost his team, a chance at a win. No, I mentioned watching him leg out triples when he hits the ball into the gaps. That's the kind of excitement that brings the Citi Field and at the time Shea Stadium crowd to its feet. But again, when he's celebrating home runs or he's maybe straying too far off first base or second base and getting picked off, he does have some of those head-scratching plays. And unfortunately, I think that's just the type of player that he is. You have to kind of live with some of the good and understand that there is some bad that comes with it. But given the Mets, the way their lineup has just looked completely lackluster, I mean, I mentioned some of the injuries that they've had, even to the pitching staff now, with Noah Syndergaard and Steven Matz, they're both probably sick about talking about the elbow spurs that they have in their throwing arms. But, I mean, these are legitimate concerns for a Mets team that, let's face it, I mean, there are really high expectations coming off a World Series berth, losing Daniel Murphy ultimately to the Washington Nationals, and then having this series with a chance to at least narrow the gap, if not try to take over first place. And they lose 2 out of 3 to the Atlanta Braves, and here they are on the verge of getting swept by the Washington Nationals. I mean, this has to be a tough pill to swallow. And for Mets fans, I mean, you know, Michael Cohen, who's obviously a regular contributor on Amazing Clubhouse, he called this move for Jose Reyes. He said it was a desperation move. He said the Mets are in desperation mode. They don't have any answers from an offensive standpoint. And I'm not going to say that he's completely wrong on that point, but when we look back to what happened last season, the Mets are right now 40-36, 4 games above 500. They're behind the Nationals, I believe 4.5 in the division. At this point last year, they were 40-38. The offense was as bad, if not worse, than it was at this point last season. And then Sandy Alderson, we know about the trade for Yoenis Cespedes. He brought in Juan Uribe, Kelly Johnson, to really just infuse some energy into this offense. And it ended up working, sparked them to a World Series run. And I'm not saying that Jose Reyes can do what Yoenis Cespedes did for the team last season, but you'd have to think, at least with them trying a different combination for that offense, that maybe they would get some kind of a spark to at least shake them out of this tailspin that they've been in the past couple of days.
Yeah, that's the one thing, Rick. And, you know, you don't like seeing, you know, especially like Noah Syndergaard. We all know the type of player Noah Syndergaard is. And you have to be concerned about what was happening with him and how he's pitching. Now, obviously, he went on Boomer and Carton this morning on WFAN, and he just said, you know, he just didn't want to give out an excuse to why he was hurting. That's why he was trying to deny it. And we understand, listen, we know Noah's not a person that wants to give out excuses. We all know this. We know he just wants to go out there. He wants to pitch his best. He's working through this situation. You know, the next time, Noah, it's just an advice, you know, just look, just let us know what's going on, and we'll understand, because, you know, we don't think you're a type of person that wants to give an excuse why you're injured. It's okay. We understand. It happens. It happens to the best players. I mean, even Derek Jeter, you know, played through pain. Even, you know, Keith Hernandez, he probably played through pain. Ron Darling, Gary Carter. I mean, you know, a lot of players have played through pain, and sometimes it gets you nowhere, and sometimes you're able to do the things you're able to do. So I just think right now for Syndergaard, he shouldn't worry about that situation. Just go out, do what you got to do, and if you have an injury, it's okay. We understand.
And we've seen firsthand in our time covering the Jets, I've certainly seen it with the Giants, I'm sure you've seen it from a fan standpoint with the Yankees, just how the New York media, just the negativity and how they can really, if players allow it, how they can really start to tear apart a team. I mean, again, looking at this Mets team, I mentioned they're in a similar situation they were last year. We know the kind of run they went on in October, and it seems like the sky is falling in Queens. I mean, all of the headlines you see is what else could go wrong for the Mets this year? What will be the downfall of the Mets this week? And frankly, we're not even at the All-Star break. The Mets are still within striking distance of the Washington Nationals. And frankly, they haven't been healthy all year. I mean, this is a pitching staff that pitched deep into October, even into November for the final game of the World Series. They're young arms that have been in the past couple of seasons, even last year in the case of Steven Matz and Noah Syndergaard, they didn't have any professional experience. So this was their first time up with a major league club. And not only did they pitch well, but they pitched in the 2015 Fall Classic. So you can't imagine that the toll that that's taken on the pitching staff, that now we're seeing some of these injuries and them breaking down, and it has to be understandable given how many innings they've pitched. But the Mets have to be lucky because, again, they're in a fortunate situation. They have an innings eater like Bartolo Colon, who at 43 years of age just continues to amaze everybody. I don't think I've seen a player quite like him, maybe since Jamie Moyer in his final years with the Phillies was getting things done. But even still, they have an innings eater in Bartolo Colon. They have a spot starter who's going to be starting tonight's game, Logan Verrett, who has pitched exceptionally well for them when they've called on him. They've talked about bringing up Gabriel Noah from the minor leagues. They have Rafael Montero. I mean, this is a Mets front office led by Sandy Alderson that has stockpiled pitching. They have pitching up and down the minor leagues at the professional ranks. And the one area where they've been lacking with depth, you could say, is at offense. I mean, obviously, Yoenis Cespedes is having a terrific season for the Amazons. David Wright now, I mean, given this recent neck surgery, they haven't ruled him out for the year. I think they're going to reevaluate him in a few weeks. But, I mean, I want to get your thoughts on this, Daniel, but is this really realistic for Met fans to expect David Wright to be back? I mean, in my mind, you just have to think that this year is a wash, and you really raise a lot of questions about his future in baseball, because this, if this is indeed as bad as it sounds with this herniated disc in his neck to go along with the spinal stenosis, I mean, that could be the final nail in the coffin, and that pains me to say it, because David Wright is as great a guy as you could imagine, an ambassador for baseball, but I mean, you look at how the injuries have taken the toll on his body, and the fact they now just signed Jose Reyes to play third base. I can't imagine the Mets are expecting David Wright to return anytime soon.
You know what? It's really a shame about David Wright, because we know he's a gamer. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and there's nothing more you can say. David Wright is a gamer, and unfortunately for him, when you are trying so hard to get back to where you used to be before you found out about this whole spinal stenosis situation, I hate to say it, but I think it's time for David Wright to retire. I don't want him to retire. I still feel he's got plenty in the tank. But the problem is, once again, it's not about having plenty in the tank. It's about, are you physically able to go out there and perform at a very high level? And sadly enough, and you know, I don't want to say it. I really don't want to say it. I know you don't want to say it. Nobody wants to say it. But we have to look at facts, Rick. And I think it's time for David Wright to retire. I think it's time for him to go out there and just say, I'm sorry, I've tried everything I could to get back. I've tried everything I could to go back out there and give it my all. And unfortunately, I'm not physically able to do that. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm going to have to call it a career. And like I said, I don't want him to call it a career. I really don't. But, you know, this is the reality. And David Wright's going to have to look at reality. And at this particular point in time, the reality is this. it looks like he might have to call it quits. And it's a shame if it does. But, you know, for David Wright, I think he has to end it now so he can live a full life and just go out there, be a coach, maybe be, coaching minor leagues, maybe coaching in the Mets system, maybe coaching a little league team. Because right now, I think it's time for him to go into that direction. Like I said before, it is a shame that this has happened to him. And nobody respects him more like you do, like I do, and the people that we know that cover the Mets and follow the Mets. They want David Wright to do well. They want David Wright to get back out there. But the truth sadly hurts. I think it's time for him to retire, Rick. It's really a shame to say it, but I think it is.
And we saw a situation like this play out last year with Michael Kadire. I mean, he was injured throughout that Mets playoff run. He was essentially useless from a production standpoint. He was a great locker room guy. He was one of the players that started that tradition of the championship belt that he would hand out after a player had a terrific game. So he was great for the camaraderie in the locker room. And we've seen David Wright. He's the captain of the team. He's the face of the franchise. I mean, going back to 2012, he signed an 8-year, $138 million contract that was going to keep him with the Mets through 2020 at age 37. And we're seeing now, as you mentioned, I mean, that seems like a distant possibility that he's going to play out the rest of that contract. And you mentioned he's a gamer. I mean, he's a guy that's a baseball lifer. He loves to be around the game, in the clubhouse, leading the team. It's going to be very hard for him to come to that realization that Michael Kadire did, that maybe his days of playing are over. I don't know. You know, I can't speak for him. I can only say that I tend to agree with what you're saying, is maybe he should see the writing on the wall and try to go into a coaching, try to maybe, like you said, work his way up the minor league ranks if he wants to pursue a managerial career. But for me, you know, again, if you're talking about him eating up a lot of money that the Mets could use on other players over the next couple of years, and he's a shell of what he is, of what he really was, I mean, you know, that's not being fair to the organization. It's not being fair to fans. So we're going to have to wait to see how that plays out. But it's one of these situations where it couldn't have happened to a better guy. I mean, it's really sad to see a player that not only is a stand-up guy on the field and off the field, but is the face of a franchise. I mean, Derek Jeter, during his run with the New York Yankees, starting in the mid-90s up until the 2012, 2013, he was what you thought about when you thought about Yankees baseball. And that really is how David Wright is thought of for the Mets. And, you know, again, we've seen over the past couple of years, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Kind of the face of the franchise has changed to some of these younger players like Matt Harvey, Noah Syndergaard, Yoenis Cespedes, and the pitching staff. And so it's kind of a transition that's been in the works for some time now, but ultimately David Wright's going to have to make that decision and kind of come to that realization that it could be over. One of the things I wanted to address, and this is kind of a wacky story that's come out in recent days, Lenny Dykstra, who went on Howard Stern and kind of talked about some of the crazy antics that he would do when he was not only with the Philadelphia Phillies. He talked a little bit about the 86 Mets. He talked about some of his escapades with older women. He talked about his use of performance-enhancing drugs. We know that he had some legal issues, the bankruptcy. He was part of that 1986 Mets team that will live in infamy for having basically a bunch of vigilantes on the team. What do you make of, and I'm not sure if you're aware of the story, it's been all over the internet and on the radio waves about Lenny Dykstra doing a tell-all book, not only about the 86 Mets, but some of his off-the-field shenanigans during his time with the Mets and with the Phillies.
Well, let me say this. And while, Lenny Dykstra, all I can say is, Lenny Dykstra is a nut job. How's that?
That's fair enough.
Lenny Dykstra was a great player back in the day for the Mets. I mean, he made some spectacular plays. He was a part of that 86 World Series team. A great ball player. You can never argue about that sort of stuff. And
Could you ever imagine a player today, when the age of social media and all the scrutiny from media and reporters. I mean, could you ever imagine a player today living that kind of lifestyle openly and being able to get out of the limelight and get away from it? Because I can't imagine some of the things that Dykstra talks about, which, again, we want to be a family-friendly show. We won't get into too dirty of a detail, but some of them are pretty outrageous. And while, you know, I'm not going to be naive, I think there are some probably current athletes that do dabble in these kind of things, but I can't imagine them publicizing it the way that Dykstra has. And I guess he's doing it now after his career. But, I mean, given the age of social media now, can you imagine this would be a field day for a lot of reporters if, say, a David Wright or a Jose Reyes came out and said that they live this kind of lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, Lenny Dykstra, I mean, I don't know what I don't know how much more you can say. All I can say is this, Rick, is that I'm trying to see. This is the problem, Rick. When it's Lenny Dykstra, you're trying to find the words to how to describe this guy because he's done so many weird things. And I mean, he's been on talk shows about supposedly his string of car washes business that he had or he did have. We don't know. You know what he's done in the stock market or has he ever been in the stock market? I mean, it's really hard to talk about Lenny Dykstra the person when you can only talk about Lenny Dykstra the ball player.
Exactly. And now that his playing career is in the books, I mean, again, he's not nearly in the spotlight like he was during when he was on that run with the 86 Mets. So, again, I tend to agree with you. Kind of just sounds like a nut job that's really starred for attention and for publicity. And, you know, who knows? He could be embellishing some of what he's talking about. So, you never know exactly the truth of what's going on there. But if you take a look now, again, this is the Mets are approximately 2 weeks away from the All-Star break, which is going to be held at San Diego at Petco Park. It'll be an exciting time, obviously. They're still awaiting the All-Star balloting to see exactly who's named to that squad. But tonight they finish up with a game against the Washington Nationals, and then they open a four-game series. They open a four-game series against the Chicago Cubs. In your mind, I mean, is this these next stretch of games, this final game against the Nationals and then the four upcoming this Thursday through Sunday against the Cubs, is this a really important stretch? I mean, in my mind, I think it is. This is an important stretch for the Mets to just stay afloat and stay within striking distance because, again, if they were to, say, lose three out of four to the Cubs and lose this final game against the Nationals, I mean, they could be talking about being – six or seven games back of the division and starting to fall out of the divisional race. I mean, do you think it's important that the Mets at least try to salvage a win against the Nationals and find a way to at least split against the Cubs to stay within striking distance in the division?
You know what, Rick, there's still plenty of time. There's still plenty of time for the Mets to change things around. It's not all doom and gloom. Obviously we'll get to the All-Star break. Maybe all of a sudden Sandy Alderson does a call up and it sparks the Mets. Maybe he does a strange deal that no one expects, and maybe that will also spark the Mets. We'll see what happens. I still feel there's plenty of time left here for the Mets to turn it around. I'm not that worried, but you know, if they still continue to slip and slip and slip some more, then obviously there's going to be an issue, and we're going to have to see what Sandy Alderson is going to do because – you know, when you get to the World Series last year and you made that deal to bring over, you know, Yoenis Cespedes, I mean, you're expecting something big to happen. And right now,
exactly.
Five games back, it's going to be crazy.
Well, thank you again for joining us in the amazing podcast. We will certainly be in touch with you. And we want to update you as far as a ticket giveaway. So subscribe to our feed on iHeartRadio for your chance to win tickets for an event with Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry at the Starland Ballroom. For Rick Laughlin and Daniel Feuerstein, this is the Amazing Clubhouse Podcast. Thank you and have a good day, everyone.